Chapter 23.
Are you and Aline going to be all right?
Uli asked. They were working together that evening, Uli fetching ingredients while Kylar brewed a draft that reduced fevers. Of course we are. Why?
Aunt Mia says it's fine you fight so much. She says that if I'm scared, I just have to listen, and if I hear the bed creaking after you fight, I'll know things will be all right. She says that means that you've made up. But I never hear the bed creaking.
Blood rushed to Kylar's cheek.
I think...
You know, that's a question you should ask Aline.
She said to ask you, and she got all embarrassed, too.
I'm not embarrassed, Kylar said. Hand me the Mayberry.
Aunt Mia says it's wrong to lie. I've seen horses mate at the castle, but Aunt Mia says it's not scary like that.
No, Kylar said quietly, mashing the Mayberry with a pestle. It's scary in its own way.
What?
Uli asked. Uli, you are way too young for us to have this conversation. Yarrow root.
Aunt Mia said you might say that. She said she'd talk to me about it if you were too embarrassed. She just made me promise to ask you first.
Uli handed him the knotted brown root. Aunt Mia, Kylar said, thinks about sex too much.
Ahem,
a voice said behind Kylar. He flinched.
I'm going to check on Mistress Vatson, Aunt Mia said. Do you need anything?
No, he said. Surely she couldn't have that bland look on her face if she'd heard what he just said.
Kylar, are you all right?
She asked. She touched his hot cheek. You look strangely flushed. She rummaged through the newly organized shelves, it seemed to take her longer than when they had been a mess, and tucked a few things in her basket. When she walked past Kylar, who was bent over the potion as if it took all of his concentration, she pinched his butt. He practically hit the ceiling, though he strangled back a shout. Uli looked at him quizzically.
You're right, Aunt Mia said at the door.
But don't you get any ideas. I'm too old for you. Kylar flushed brighter, and she laughed. He could hear her continuing to laugh heartily, even as she walked down the street.
Crazy old coot, he said.
Norantin seed. Uli handed him the vial of flat, purplish seeds, and screwed her mouth into a tight line.
Kylar, if things don't work out with Aline, will you marry me?
He dropped the entire vial into the mixture.
What?
I asked Aline how old you were, and she said 20. And Aunt Mia said her husband was 9 years older than her, and that's even further apart than you and me. And I love you, and you love me, and you and Aline fight all the time, but you and me never fight.
Kylar was confused at first. He and Aline hadn't fought for more than a week. Then he realized that Uli had been spending her nights over at one of her new friends' houses, probably because Kylar and Aline's fighting had upset her so much. Now Uli had an eager, scared look on her face that told him how he answered her could break her heart. Specifically, the first thought that popped into his head, I don't love you like that, was not going to be a good choice.
How did I get into this? I've got to be the first father in Midcryu to ever have to explain sex to his daughter while still a virgin myself.
What was he supposed to say?
I'm not actually married to Aline yet, so when we fight, we can't make up the way I'd like. In fact, if we could make up the way I'd like, we probably wouldn't fight in the first place.
Kylar couldn't wait until he actually married Aline. All their conflicts about sex would finally be behind them. What a relief. In the meantime, Uli was staring at him, waiting, big eyes wide, uncertain. Oh no, that looked like a lip quiver. The opening door saved him. A well-dressed man stepped inside, a house crest embroidered in the chest of his tunic. He was tall and spare, but his face was pinched, making him look like a rodent.
"Is this Aunt Mia's?"
he said. "Yes, it is," Kylar said. "But I'm afraid Aunt Mia just stepped out for a while."
"Oh, that's fine," the man said. "You're her assistant, Kyle?"
"Kylar."
"Ah, yes. You're younger than I expected. I've come here for your help."
"Mine?"
"You're the man who saved Lord Avon, aren't you? He's been telling everyone who will listen that you did with one potion what a dozen physickers couldn't with months of treatment. I'm the head steward of High Lord Garazul. My lord has gout."
Kylar rubbed his jaw. He stared at the bottles lining the walls.
"I can return later if you wish,"
the steward said. "No, it won't take a minute," Kylar said. He started grabbing bottles and giving orders to Uli. She was the perfect helper, quick and silent. He soon had four bowls mixing simultaneously, two over heat, two cold. In another 2 minutes, he was done. The steward looked utterly fascinated by the whole process. It made Kylar think that Grandmaster Halen was onto something in showing off the creation process. He knew in that moment that if he ever had a big shop, he'd set it up in exactly the same way, give people a show along with their potions. It was an oddly satisfying little dream.
"Here's what you need to do," Kylar said. "Give him 2 spoonfuls of this every 4 hours. I'm guessing your master is fat, hardly ever gets out, loves his drink."
The steward said,
"He's got a little extra... well, yes, fat as a leviathan, in fact. Drinks like one, too."
"That potion will take care of the pain in his feet and joints. It will help the gout a little, but as long as he's fat and drinks a lot of wine, he'll never get better. He'll need to buy this same potion every time his gout flares up for the rest of his life. You tell him that if he wants the gout gone, he needs to stop drinking. If he won't, which I'm betting will be the case, start putting 2 drops of this." Kylar handed the man the second vial. "In every glass of his wine. It will give him a terrific headache. Make sure you do it every time he takes wine. While you're at it, you can give him this each morning and night for his bad stomach, and feed him less. Give a little of this last one with each meal. It should help him feel full sooner."
"How do you know he had a bad stomach?"
Kylar smiled mysteriously. "And take him off everything else the physickers have ordered, especially the bloodletting and the leeches. He should be a new man in 6 weeks, if you make him lose weight."
"How much?"
the steward asked.
"Depends on how fat he is," Kylar said.
The steward laughed.
"No! How much do I owe you?"
Kylar thought about it. He did some math of what the ingredients had cost and doubled it. He told the steward. The mousy man looked at him, astonished.
"A bit of advice, young man. You should get a shop on the north side, because if this works, there's a lot of noble business that's going to be coming your way. And another thing, if this even helps a little, you should charge twice that. If it actually does what you said, you should charge 10 times that, otherwise the nobles won't believe it's real."
Kylar smiled, warmed just to hear someone speak to him as if he knew what he was doing, which he did.
"Well then, you owe me 10 times what I said before."
The steward laughed.
"If Lord Garazul gets better, I'll do better than that. Here's all I've got on me in the meantime."
He tossed Kylar 2 new silver coins.
"Good day, young master."
Watching the man go, Kylar was surprised how good it felt.
Maybe it was better to heal than to kill. Or maybe it was just good to feel appreciated. How had Durzo done it? He'd been a dozen different heroes over the ages, maybe scores of different heroes. Hadn't he ever wanted to just announce himself, tell everyone who he was, and have them show the proper awe? Here I am, adore me. But Durzo had never come across like that. Kylar had grown up with him, and had never had a clue that his master was the Night Angel, much less any of the other identities he'd had. Why not? Durzo had seemed arrogant in certain parts of his life. He'd certainly shown a huge disdain for most wet boys and most of the Sakage, but he'd never equated himself with the great heroes of history. The pang of loss cut Kylar again. Gods! Durzo had been dead 3 months, and despite the passage of time, it wasn't getting any better. Kylar felt the little box in his pocket. He died so I could have Eileen. Kylar tried to push Durzo from his mind with that thought. Let's just get through Uli's birthday, and then I can ask Eileen to marry me. Then Uli can hear more creaking than she's ever imagined. Kylar, Uli said, jerking him out of his reverie. Are you going to answer my question? Ah, shit. Uli, he said gently, I know you don't feel like it, and you're certainly as smart as someone a lot older, but you're still a... He furrowed his brow, knowing the next part wasn't going to go over well. You're still a child. It was true, damn it. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. I just had my first moon blood this week. Aunt Mia says that means I'm a woman now. It really hurts and it scared me at first. My stomach got real sore in my back, and then... Ah! Kylar waved his hands, trying to make her stop. What? Aunt Mia said it was nothing to be embarrassed about. Aunt Mia's not your father. Who is? Uli asked, quick as a whip. Kylar said nothing. And who's my mother? You know, don't you? My nurse has always treated me different from the other children. The last one always got scared whenever I got hurt. When I got a cut on my face once, she was so afraid it would be a scar that she didn't sleep for weeks. Sometimes a lady would watch us play in the gardens, but she always wore a cloak and hood. Was she my mother?
Mute. Kylar nodded. It was exactly what Mama Kay would have done. She had doubtless stayed away for Uli's safety as much as she could bear, but every once in a while, the defenses would have broken down.
She's important?
Uli asked. Every orphan's wish, Kylar knew. Kylar nodded again.
Why'd she leave me?
Kylar blew out a breath. You deserve the answer to that, Uli. But I can't tell you. It's one of the secrets I know that don't belong to me. I promise I'll tell you when I can.
Are you going to leave me? If we got married, I could go with you.
If anyone thought children couldn't suffer pain as deeply as adults, Kylar wished they could see Uli's eyes now. For all he loved her, he'd been treating her as a child rather than as a human being. Uli's brief life was a history of abandonment. Her father, her mother, one nurse after another. She just wanted something solid in her life. Kylar hugged her. I won't abandon you, he swore. Not ever. Not ever.